This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Shortly after the planes hit the World Trade Center, the government moved quickly to round up suspects and prevent another terrorist attack. That action revived a centuries-old debate, one that challenged the framers of the U.S. Constitution. The debate questions whether the government can preserve life and liberty, and whether the government can provide national security while protecting the rights of the individual. For example, how does an FBI agent hunt down this new enemy and still respect the rights of those being investigated? In the first of two reports, NPR's Barbara Bradley traveled to Michigan to learn how the constitutional theory works in the real world.
You know you're driving into Dearborn, Michigan by the billboards, English on the top, Arabic below. Some 300,000 people of Arab descent live here, making it the largest Arab population outside of the Middle East.
The Arab community, they take very good care of their own, if you will. A lot of support networks are established here. A person coming from overseas.
FBI Special Agent Michael Thomas makes this drive to Dearborn at least three times a week. He's been on the counterterrorism task force for 4 years now. Back at his Detroit office, he says during that time, he's had to become familiar with a new type of enemy, one who burrows into the American society he plans to destroy.
If there's a terrorist operation, and you and I are part of this operation, you may have a piece of the puzzle, and I may have a piece of the puzzle, and neither one of us know what the other operation is. And we may never even know each other's identity. So it's very compartmentalized, and it's very hard to identify each compartment of that cell.
His job is to detect the pieces of that puzzle through surveillance or an informant or a wiretapped conversation before the terrorists can pull off an attack. Thomas walks into a secure room at the federal prosecutor's office called the prep room.
Just to give you an idea, like this are all of our discovery, our charts, link analysis, who the players are. We put together everything, we analyze it, look at it, see if, bank records, phone records, toll records.
The tables are stacked high with documents, the wall lined with photos of suspects secretly photographed from his car. To gather evidence, Special Agent Thomas and his colleagues use traditional techniques, surveillance, searches, and wiretaps. But he says all the technical intelligence in the world won't win the war on terrorism if it can't be deciphered. For that, he needs Arabs, who not only speak the language, but understand the cultures.
Hello.
The Arab specialist room is cold, tiny, with computers and documents taking up every inch of space. Above one desk, there's a poster that says, "I love Allah." Above the adjacent cubicle, a drawing of Christ on the cross. Mohammed El-Koud, a 73-year-old Egyptian-American, is one of five Arab-Americans who translate documents, interviews, wiretaps, looking for clues to the next catastrophe.
The words, the language, certain codes they use, a telephone call from here that's being wired. So you're putting all the pieces together. You sift through thousands of pieces of information, and it may only be one or two that you can, but that could be the trigger.
In this chilly room, this is where the war on terrorism could be won or lost. It's also where the issue of civil liberties plays out. For the FBI must try to pinpoint where legitimate investigation ends and intrusion into privacy begins. John Bell, who headed the FBI office here until his retirement this week, says it's a tension he's wrestled with every day.
I think the citizens of this country expect law enforcement at every level to do everything that they can to make sure that we don't have another repeat of what happened on September 11th. But keeping that in mind, they expected to do it in a manner which protects the freedoms that makes this country so different from other places in the world today.
That's more than a constitutional nicety. Preserving civil liberties is essential because the FBI can't afford to alienate the Muslim or Arab community. Those are the people who may be able to identify potential plotters. Knowing that, Bell and other law enforcement officials have tried to involve, to court, the Arab community. It started the day after the 9/11 attack, when Bell set up a meeting with community leaders.
We let them know that because the perpetrators early on had been identified as Arabs, that we were going to be doing a lot of investigation in that community. And we wanted them to know the nature of that investigation and why we were there. But we also wanted to let them know that part of our jurisdiction deals with protecting people's civil rights and protecting them against hate crimes.
The idea was to set up a relationship of mutual need, of trust, not terror. Case in point, the voluntary interviews. Nationwide, the Justice Department identified 5,000 men whom it wanted to talk to, men from places, mainly Middle Eastern countries, where Al-Qaeda is active. In other cities, FBI agents often surprised the person at home or work and tried to interview him on the spot. In Detroit, the FBI talked with community leaders and decided to send letters offering to meet the person anytime or place with or without a lawyer. And here's the key. The FBI said it didn't need to know the person's immigration status, a kind of don't ask, don't tell policy for people who fear the immigration service more than any other entity. It worked. Of the 500 men approached, only a dozen refused to talk. And yet, it's a wary sort of cooperation, says Nasser Beydoun, who heads the Arab American Chamber of Commerce. In part, that's because many people in Dearborn came from countries with secret police and few human rights, so trust is not so easy. In part, it's because of the officials in Washington setting policy.
As great as our relationship might be with the FBI, they still have to adhere to the directives of the Attorney General. And we have seen that John Ashcroft is not a friend of civil liberties.
For that reason, Omar Mahmoud was ambivalent when two FBI agents interviewed him last fall. A PhD student and American citizen, Mahmoud had spent time studying in Yemen. That interested the FBI. He agreed to meet with them, along with his lawyer.
It was a little daunting at first, but then after having gone through it, I felt like that it wasn't that bad. It was just felt like two guys who were trying to do their job.
Then one agent asked him to report back suspicious activity or people and to rely on the FBI to handle the cases with discretion.
You know, we sort of responded with, well, you know, we'd like to have that trust, but, you know, at the moment there's hundreds of Muslims being detained right now, and many people don't know why they're being detained or where they are. And it's hard to establish trust in that type of environment.
That's not happening very much in Michigan, but it has happened elsewhere, in Florida, Virginia, California, New Jersey. In fact, twice this year, the FBI has raided the home of Mahmoud's father-in-law. He works as a chemical engineer. He's never been charged, but his things haven't been returned either.
It's easy to say you have nothing to hide, you should welcome these type of investigations when your house has never been raided, when your computer has never been confiscated, when your personal writings and personal recordings have not been erased and taken away.
And many believe this kind of thing will happen more and more. Why? Because it can, says Najab Bazzi, an activist and senior advisor of the Young Muslim Association. The USA Patriot Act gave the FBI and law enforcement broad new powers to investigate people. She says it's not that the local FBI will want to invade privacy, but that the Justice Department in Washington will require it.
You know your email can be read. You know that your phone can be tapped. You know that people are placed in your organizations and institutions to go ahead and get information on you. You know that in wartime, your fair game.
Bazzi says as an activist, she assumes she's being watched. She's not particularly bothered by it. But then again, she's an American citizen, and she lives in a place where the FBI is treading carefully. Barbara Bradley, NPR News.